In Genesis chapter 6, it came to pass. So we've gotten through creation. We've gotten through the fall. The earth is populating. And that we come to this verse, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And this is where suggestions start being introduced as to who are those sons of God and daughters of men. Suggestions of angels intermingling, intermarrying. But understand something. In the Bible, when we talk about angels, that theory. Now, Jesus says they neither marry nor are given in marriage. They're always male in their personality, but they are not human. And that's the part we have to comprehend. Are they humanistic? Are they humanoids? There's nothing here that really suggests the idea that angels commingled with humans. But that's a suggestion by some people. Verse 3, and here's where it kind of takes off. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So now we've started the clock, 120 years. Isn't it incredible that God says, when he's fed up, he says, I'm going to give you 120 years to get right. Is that what your parents did for you? No, they said, straighten up. You better straighten up. But God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm going to give you 120 years to get it right. I mean, that's grace. That's mercy. That's you know, understanding. That's patience. And he gives them 120 years to get right. And, of course, we say, well, you know, it's 120 years in that time frame may not be the same as it is here, because what we're talking about before the flood. These people lived a long time, didn't they? 900 years, 1,000 years. If people live 900 years, 120 years of that, yeah, just teenagers. But he gave them time to get it right. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. And we see the evidence of it. When the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So there's one suggestion that it was angels mingling with humans, and then the other understanding is that it was the sons of Cain and the sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain. So we've got the spiritual and the carnal, or the godly and the ungodly. Remember, Cain's been set from the presence of the Lord. Go to Nod. He went east to Nod from the presence of the Lord. And so the idea is that here was this group of people who went away and they had no spiritual influence. Why? How many of you know somebody's mad at God? Anybody know anybody that's mad at God? Now, a lot of people consider themselves to be atheists. Well, most of the time, at least in my experience, and let me tell you, I talk to a lot of people. In my experience, most of them, it's not a fact that they don't believe in God. They're mad at God. And they got mad at God, and then they decided after they were mad at God that they didn't want to know God. Then they tried to disassociate themselves and say that he doesn't even exist. Now, how many of you see people that get mad at things that don't exist? The truth is, there's something burning in their heart that says there is a God. And a lot of them at some point had a relationship with God and walked with God and even served God, but something made them mad and they got out. And they, whether it was, you know, somebody died, and usually that's the case, somebody died or somebody got sick that they love, and they feel like God took that loved one from them, so now they're mad at God. Okay, so we go back to Cain. What did Cain do? Killed his brother, didn't he? It all started when he brought his offering, and God said, that's not what I demanded, and I don't respect that. And then Cain got mad. He got mad at God, and he killed his brother because his brother did right. And people get mad at the church, mad at Christians, because we do right. It's just jealousy. It's just the guilt in them eating up and overflowing, and so they get mad at you because You're trying to live for Jesus. And so he killed his brother, and then, of course, God called him out on it and sent him out from the presence of the Lord. So how many of you think Cain taught his children about Jesus? No, he didn't. So now that whole generation, all the generations, well, of course, in that family, they didn't have a spiritual heritage. They didn't have a godly upbringing. And so now they come across what? They come across these godly people, the sons of God. And they get married. And so it does cause some conflict. It caused some complications. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And there's that phrase for the first time. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So every idea they had continuously was against God. It was about self. It was about fulfilling their own desires. Not about serving God. Not what God wants, what I want. The imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him at his heart. And I think everybody in this room probably understands what grief is. We've grieved. But God grieved that he made man. It was such a disappointment. Now, you say, but Pastor, how can it be a disappointment when God knew what was going to happen? Before the foundations of the earth, he had already established that man would sin and that Jesus would have to come and die on the cross to be the Savior of the world. And so how can it be a disappointment? How many of you ever expected something to happen? But when it happened, it was still disheartening, disappointing, heartbreaking. We anticipate things, but when it happens, it still hits us. And so, as God would have anticipated this, but the Bible says it grieved him at his heart. He was really sad about it. He was upset about it. About what? About the condition of mankind. The condition of society. Hey, let's go back in your history. How many of you could see a lot of what is going on now? You saw the signs decades ago and you said, this is going to lead to that, and that's going to lead to that, and that's going to lead to that. Anybody? And yet here we are, and it's still discouraging, even though we can see it coming. You know, we from abortion to the homosexuality, and so we went from saying that, you know, you're just thinking about this wrong, to now everybody's got to embrace it and everybody's got to approve of it. And now where are we headed next? Pedophilia. Where now it's okay to just engage with a child in a sexual way. And what did we say for the last 40, 50 years? This is where it's going to lead. And every step that we take, we've already said that's where it's going to go. And no, remember the, no, we're not going to do that. No, you're stretching it. No, you're taking a leap with that idea. Here we are. It grieved him at his heart. Even though he knew it was coming, it grieved him in his heart. How many of us know what the Bible says about the tribulation? How many of us know that, you know, there's going to be a third of the world burned and then the water and all the plagues of the book of Revelation? We know it's coming. We've been talking about it coming. Al Gore's been trying to warn us about global warming. You wouldn't listen. By the way, before he ever came up with the idea, it was already in writing in the Bible that all of these things must come to pass. You know what the Bible says? The earth will burn up with what? A fervent heat. That's the definition of global warming. And yet, I mean, the Bible says it's going to happen, all these things. And we're just taking steps getting there. You know, the gradual conditioning of the mind and conditioning of the heart. And Brother Bill talked about this morning in Brotherhood about he watched the social dilemma, and he was talking about how the computers, they listen to everything we say, they record everything that we research on the internet, or every video, or every comment, or like, and all these things that we engage in on online. And really what it's doing is conditioning us to a certain way of thinking. And I've seen a lot of conversations this week where people say, well, if you are happy celebrating that the president's sick, unfriend me on Facebook. Well, obviously we all should have compassion and concern for our president being sick. But let me say this. One of the things that I think is important in my life is to keep the balance of the haters. Now, you may not think that's valuable, but I'm going to tell you something. We can lock ourselves in a bubble where we never hear an opposing view, and it just recycles, and we're not broadened unless we listen to what other people think. Now, look, I don't have to like what they think, but I need to at least be exposed to it. And so let me encourage you to not lock yourself into just a circle of people that agree with everything you say. By the way, I'm pretty happy when people agree with what I say. And I like being around people that I agree with. I like that. But it's necessary for me to be uncomfortable by being exposed to the opposite ideas, to the conflicting opinions with what I hold. It's important in our growth. And it keeps us balanced, and it keeps us above board. Because if you just keep people around that are going to yes you to death, you're not going to grow. Anyway. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. It's not just the people, it's the animals too. Which is hard for us to comprehend. Why would God be upset about that? But this anger, this violence, and by the way, that's what it's about. It's about violence. It's about anger. This animosity that builds up between, not just between people, but between species. That's what's got God upset. Look at verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Violence. What are we witnessing today? Violence. This, wouldn't it be great if we could all have different opinions and talk about it? And be civil in our discussions and our disagreements. That's the way it used to be. But we've reached a place where you can't have a conflicting opinion. There's some university. Aren't universities supposed to be the forum of free thought and discussion? They used to be that way. And now they have free speech zones on the university campuses. Or you can't go and have your free speech unless you're right here in this little square. Because our universities have turned into communist petri dishes. Really, a lot of them have. Unfortunately. I'm in favor of education. But unfortunately, we've allowed our school system from the kindergarten all the way through to graduation to harm our country, to harm our youth. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is look at who's participating in these riots and the demonstration. Look, demonstration, that's a free speech right. But when you're out there blocking traffic and breaking stuff and burning stuff, you've gone too far. But if you talk to the people who are on the streets, they'll tell you who it is that's in the front of these Black Lives Matter. I'll go ahead and name it. It's 20-year-old college white girls. That's who's running that thing. It's not about Black Lives Matter. It's about an agenda. But anyway, Noah didn't know anything about that stuff. But look at verse 8. So the problem was violence was increasing. The animosity was increasing. The tension was increasing. Does it feel like 2020 in Genesis chapter 6? The days of Noah. And so the violence, the contention. Verse 9 it says, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We need to fit in verse 8. We need to be in verse 8. With all that's going on, the violence, the contention, the fighting, the strife, all that's going on around us, we need to be in verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, when the Lord looked at Noah, the Lord said, I don't regret making him. Of all that I look around, and God says, I regret doing it. But he says, but not Noah. That was a good job I did there. And so what was the difference? What did God do differently with everybody else? What it wasn't what God had done. God made us perfect design and a perfect plan. A perfect roadmap for our success. And yet, how many of us messed it up? We all did. You know why? Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I know I messed up and you messed up. We all messed up. So what happens? We need God's grace. God made us right, but it was the choices that we made that got us in trouble. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Verse 9, Noah was a just man. Why was he a just man? He was perfect in his generations. He was brought up right. He was brought up, he was given the tools that he needed for success. That's the reality is we're not all given the tools that we need for success, are we? But you know, there are plenty of people who have scratched and earned their way without being given those tools. They didn't have the hope. They didn't have the opportunity. You know, if we went around and asked questions, there are a lot of people in this room that their home was a perfect place for us to grow and succeed. Had the love, had the direction, had the discipline, had the understanding, had the Christian upbringing. All those things that we need. And there are a lot of people in this room also that don't have that. Somehow we've got to make that decision. We've got to go to God. But Noah had an opportunity, his generations. Noah had an opportunity because nobody in his family decided that God wasn't real. Everybody in his family believed in God. He was perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. That was the difference. It's fine if your parents are Christians, but you got to be a Christian. Because your parents' Christianity can't get you to heaven. It can direct you, but you got to make the decision on your own. So Noah walked with God. That's important. We need to walk with God. You need to walk with God. And I was, who was I talking to this week? But it came down to that, is when you started walking with God, that's when things changed. When you started walking with God, and you could tell the difference, something changed. That's where our lives improve. Verse number 14, so God said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. And he gives them the instructions. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Understand a cubit is variation, but pretty much it's 18 inches. And then the breadth is 50 cubits, the height of 30 cubits. And a window thou shalt make to the ark. A cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set it in the side with a lower second and third story shalt thou make it. So God tells him to build a boat, a huge boat. How long does he have to build it? 120 years. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. 120 years, it's done. Now, what if we told somebody today, you need to get right and you got 12 years to get your act together. You think they'd take it seriously? In 11 years, 11 months, and 11 days, they'd say, there was something I was supposed to do at the end of this month. What was it? Something, I remember something about that. Look, don't put it off. Don't say, well, when I get older or when I'm near death. No, now's the time to get right. Now's the time to settle up with God. But he gives them the instructions. Verse 17, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Our Christianity, our salvation, our relationship with God, yours and mine, has nothing to do with anybody else. It's a covenant between God and you. God said, I will make my covenant with thee. I want people to get saved. I want people to go to heaven. I want everybody in this room, I hope everybody in this room has already made a decision to go to heaven through Jesus Christ. I want everybody that watches this video to make a decision to follow Jesus to go to heaven. But my going to heaven has nothing to do with you going to heaven. It is something between me and God. God said to Noah, I make my covenant with thee. And that's something, it's personal. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, thy sons, wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. Two. Why two? So they can make some more. That's why. So they can, and fowls after their kind. They be male and female, creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. So he says, gather them two by two. And of course, we know as we read on the story, there's certain ones that he brought more of. But he brought a male and a female. Why? So they could replicate, duplicate, so we could have more. So they could repopulate the earth. Because he was destroying all flesh, all living things. And what if Noah said no? What if Noah said, well, I had other plans. That, you know, God, I think you're exaggerating things. They're really not as bad as you say they are. It all hinged on one man doing what God called him to do. Now, let me tell you something. All flesh is not dependent on what each one of us does. But there are a lot of people that could go to heaven if we will do our part. If we would show them the way to salvation, the way to Christ. But what if we don't? Say, well, I've already got my ticket. I'm already going to be on the ark. But what if we don't provide for others? Guys, yes, you already got your ticket. Yes, you're already safe. But what about the others? Now, I know this. I know Noah spent 120 years. It was a fantastic opportunity for him to meet people. And to share the message. Why? Because he was building a boat in the middle of the desert. Why are you building that? Well, it's going to be a flood. And he was able, they would come and question him. He was able to preach and share the message and message of faith and hope. 120 years. And how many converts did he have? Just his family. You remember Lot? Did Lot have that same conversion rate? Noah had three sons and three daughters-in-laws, and of course his wife, eight people that got on the ark. Lot escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah with just two daughters. No sons-in-laws. The wife didn't make it. So I know that over 120 years, it seems like he could have done a better job of reaching people. Like he could have reached more people. But let's not be discouraged. Let's just do our part. Who's got your Bible open still there? Okay, what's that last phrase say in that chapter? So did he. Well, God commanded him, so did he. Let that be our testimony. I say the whole world is not relying on our faithfulness, but there are many who are. Let's take a break.